Father God, we look to you now as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive this message. We ask that you move in this place, that your Spirit open us so that we can discern what it is you have for us to receive. Lord, consecrate me now to thy service by the power of your grace that's so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope that my will be lost in thine. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, amen. Amen. What a week, what a week. Lots of preparing, as Shakespeare once said, at least for us, much ado about nothing. But it's not to be lost that it did have an impact on several families and lives. And we are fortunate that we did not have to deal with the flooding. I figure the storm came close and said, oh, they're already underwater. I'll just go down here. No fun there. But as we started ramping up to it, I'm sure everyone had their list of things they had to get, prepare for. If your house is anything like mine, we've been getting briefings for a week now about Florence coming. And so we were ready. We were ready. My wife is a doer. She is a manager, a preparer. She has that five-year forecast, right? All those great things. And so when we heard there was something coming, she got prepared. And that's awesome because we weren't waiting in line for anything. We had water, right? We had water last week. So we were ready to go. We had bread and batteries and lamps and lights and candles. And I didn't get the sandbags, though. She left the outdoors to me, and I was like, I'm not getting sandbags. I'm not going there. But we were ready. And these things happen in life, where life calls us to prepare, to be ready for things that we can't control, things that are going to happen that we have no control over. But yet, we need to be prepared. And so the scripture today I want to use to kind of discuss how we can be prepared. Last week, we talked about Nicodemus. We were in the book of John and how Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night, right? His covert operation to find out more about this Messiah, quote unquote. And Jesus said something to him that perplexed him, right? He said, you have to be born again. And it blew Nicodemus's mind. He's like, what are you talking about? But he was talking about being born into this eternal self that we have. And so the next verse, he again talks about our eternal self and what that looks like. And it's a famous verse that we all know, John 3:16. You've seen it if you've watched football at all. You've seen the signs, right? John 3:16 made you wonder, what is that? It's the first verse that I had to put to memory as a child. And so we all know it. If you don't know it, it says like this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Simple, like wraps it all up right there. As the body of believers, that's the call to believe. But see, God, Jesus said that not just to blow Nicodemus's mind more, but he said it as what he needs to prepare to do. He needs to prepare himself for what's coming in his life, as we need to prepare ourselves. See, this earth that God has blessed us with, he didn't give us the keys to it. He didn't give us the control station, right? This isn't the Wizard of Oz. There's no man behind the curtain pulling the switches. Nature does its thing. It reacts. It's an organism. It tries to function within a lot of other moving parts. And so though we can have effect on nature, we don't control nature. And so how we do things, though, right, to try and help make nature get along with us, right? We've had the Go Green movement, and there's things that we can do to get along better with mama, as we say. And my wife, she laughed at me when I told her my 3 points this week. So maybe you'll find it just as amusing. But just as we do things to help Earth, I'm going to use those 3 R's that we use to give an example of how we can also help ourselves be prepared. We can reduce, we can reuse, and we can recycle. We all know those, right? Reduce, reuse, and recycle. See, in the scripture, God says that he loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave. And we love things, right? Love is this idea that we hang our hats on for the sustenance of our life, right? Love, it comes, love goes, love covets. We adore things that we want. There's all types of love. You have agape love, right? Philia love, the fellowship love, eros love. I'm madly in love with someone. And love changes throughout our lives, right? When we're little kids, we love things, usually things we can put in our mouths, right? Things we can throw. We love them. They're our little toys. My little girl has a Chi-Chi, right? I can't stand it, but she loves it because she has to have it. Chi-Chi, she gets upset. She wants Chi-Chi, and it's this little stuffed cheetah. That's all it is, but it's like her best friend, and everyone thinks it's so cute, and I can't stand it because she just uses it as a tool, right? Something's wrong. Ava, stop that. Oh, I need Chi-Chi. Then I'll be better. That's not how this works, but she loves the Chi-Chi, and we get older, and love changes, right? Then we love other things. Teenagers, what do they love? Their phones, right? They love their phones. Well, some of us love our phones. We go home, we leave, we don't have the phone, we miss it. We want to go back. Where's my phone? What happened? All the world stops. I got to go get my phone. Something we adore, right? And then when we mature, we become adults, and we love. But that love should be different. Should be a real love, a conviction kind of love. That's what God is calling us to. Not just love that we can say things and feel a certain way about things, but where we make a decision, we're convicted about something. And so no matter what else happens, I love this thing, so I'm committed to it. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make sure that this thing's okay. I remember God put the biggest conviction of my life on my heart. I was at a Promise Keepers meeting. I don't know if anybody remembers Promise Keepers a few years ago. And I went to the meeting, and I'm taking pictures. I was hired to take pictures. And the woman's given this testimony about honor and how growing up she was abused and never saw her self-worth. She had very low self-esteem. And how God revealed to her that he honored her, just as Christ honors the church, and that the world should honor her because she is God's treasure. And I'm watching her, and I'm taking pictures, and what she's saying is starting to sink into me. And it's making me think, well, I have a girlfriend, but do I honor her? I mean, I give her things. I think I love her, right? I'm a gentleman. I treat her the right way. But do I love her? Well, I have to say no, because I hadn't made any kind of commitment to her. I didn't have a conviction about those feelings. And God just struck that on me to the point, and this is going to sound a little cliche and crazy, but I called her right then. And I said, hey, will you marry me? And she laughed. She laughed. She was doing her hair or something. She's like, well, if you're serious, ask my father. You know what they say? Ask my father. Lo and behold, her father happened to be at the meeting. So, right, call my bluff. So I went to her father, and I asked, and we prayed. And he said yes. And I got married. And it was the first time in my life that I knew what real love was. I loved things, but I had never felt convicted about something, that this was something I knew would never change. Now, does that mean that every day of my life, I wake up and I'm like, yes? Of course not. And she's not surprised by me saying that. Right? We go through these things, but that's what God is telling us. He's saying, listen, all this temperamental stuff, your feelings, this world, it comes, it goes. But see, my love endures forever. My love is everlasting. And the only way we begin to see that is when we humble ourselves, right? When the world isn't about me, it becomes about something else, about how I can give, about what I can do for someone else. Because that's what happened in that moment when I was convicted. All of a sudden, I didn't care about what she was doing for me. I didn't care about what I could get from the situation. My calculations weren't based on my benefit. It all of a sudden all became about her. And then we had kids. And guess what happens then? It becomes all about them. And it's a greater love. This love on top of love, and God is trying to show us, he's given us this message that if you just humble yourself, I'll show you what this life is really about. We're always taught to look at what we can get from a situation, what we need to do. It's going to be better for us. And God is saying, fine, but in that, surrender to me. Don't allow it all to be about you. Reduce yourself. And in that, you begin to see how to treat others. Oh, people come up to you all the time. Well, hopefully not all the time. I'm speaking for myself. But maybe you don't want to deal with them. Maybe there's a few people in your life on the job. You know when you see them coming, you're just, whoop, this way, and not today, just not this morning, please. And we just want to stay away. We just want to ignore them. Get out of my face, please, out of my existence. But God's saying, you don't have to be that way. But why do we do that? Because we're trying to protect ourselves, right? We're trying to just protect what we have, protect our emotions. We don't want to deal with it. God's saying, it's okay if you stop thinking about yourself just for a minute. Don't worry about your feelings just for a minute. I guarantee you that person has the same thing you do. And the way they're acting is because they're doing the same thing. They're just trying to protect themselves. They don't know a better way to do it than what they're giving you. Because they have their own whole life story that's come up to this moment to make them who they are. And he's saying, but I've called you, I've revealed something greater to you that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to protect yourself. I've given you this love to share. What does the Bible say about love? It gives it clear characteristics, right? It says love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Man, if I could get that all the time. Where is that? I need that at every moment. But it's not. But the Bible says nothing can separate me from the love of God, right? Nothing. So why am I not walking around in kindness, full of joy, feeling protected, truthful, trust? Where does it go away? Does God leave me? No, He's there. But we turn away. We stop looking, right? We get caught up in what we're doing, and we forget the treasure He's put inside of us. See, if we reduce ourselves, stop making your life this mountain, knock it down, and you'll begin to see what He's trying to show us. Because He wants us to see that treasure. He wants us to reuse Him again and again and again. We reduce ourselves, humble ourselves, and then tap into His resource and reuse it again and again. This treasure that He's placed inside of us. Oh, the Bible says it's a light that shines out of darkness. That He made this light in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We have treasures, it says, treasures in these jars of clay. The Bible says, for God so loved that He gave His Son, right? He said, I love them so much, what am I going to do? I'll just wipe them out and start again. Let's just start fresh. We do that sometimes. No, He said, I'm going to go and be with them. The cosmos, the greatest in creation said, I'm going to come down and be in this little bitty jar with all of my power. I'm going to place myself in this little bitty place and go through what they go through and show them that they can make it through this life. They don't have to live in fear, live in doubt, separated from me. I'm placing in them this treasure, me. Right? Who's seen Aladdin? Seen Aladdin in the movie? Yes, yes. Funniest line of the movie, right? He says, great big cosmic power. And this itty bitty bottle. That's us. Right? We have all this power given to us from an eternal being. But we feel trapped in this little bitty jar of clay. Living in fear. He's saying, don't reuse me again and again. This treasure that's in your heart, trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understandings. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This precious thing He's given us, but we don't rely on it, right? We want to think our way through situations. I'll figure it out. We spend our lives filling our minds with information. We read. We watch television. Do all these things to feed the mind. And that's fine. But are we feeding our heart? Right? We're like crippled in our emotions. It's like my 3-year-old. You know, she's just a total slave to her emotions. Whatever she's feeling, she's gonna let you know as soon as she feels it. She can't hide anything, and that's the beauty of kids, right? It should be the beauty of us. But our emotions should mature. God is trying to grow that so that we're not just reacting to what the world is doing, but we're solid in what God is doing in our lives. We look to Him. Look to the treasure that He's placed within us. And finally, recycle. Reduce ourselves. Humble ourselves. Look to the treasure inside. Use it again and again. And finally, recycle what we have for Him. Each of us have a gift. God's given you something. If you don't know what it is, pray, and He'll reveal it. The organist came up beautifully. She gives her gifts to God. The elders, they come up and they serve. They're giving their gifts to God. God has given you gifts. Not just one. He's given you several gifts. And he wants you to use them for his kingdom. He wants you to use them with other people. Look, I can be the best video gamer in the world. And what good is it if I'm just sitting at home playing a video game? He gave us our gifts so we can share them. That's why we're the body of Christ. We're not the pinky of Christ. We're not the tooth of Christ. It's all of us. He wants us to come together because in those situations, we have to share who we are. And that's our greatest gift. Your life is a gift. Your life is a testimony to what God has done through you. And when we share that with others, when we tell others just simple things of what has happened to us in life, we don't even know it, but we're blessing them. Because they see in themselves through your story. They see it and they get it. So recycle who you are. Don't throw it away. Your old life isn't trash. What you've been through isn't trash. What you have isn't something to hide. It's something God wants us to share again and again and again. Who you are is unique. It's authentic. Be it. Cherish it. God gave it to you. Let anything take that away. So we reduce ourselves. We humble ourselves so God can reuse us. And we look to the treasure that he's given us. And we recycle what we have and we give it back to him. I leave you with this. God has planted a seed in each and every one of you. And he is growing that seed today. It's in your heart. And it is growing. And how it grows and what kind of fruit it produces, you have a say in that. It is in your control. So if we give it to the vine maker, we give it to the one who made the seed, how much greater can it be? In Jesus' name. If there is one here today, as the